You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
It's An Englishman in the Balkans podcast, and today we're focusing on something that I feel is important. Some people in the local region don't think it's important, and that is the ability for normal people to have their voices. And let me qualify that. People here in the region that I've come to live in for the last 20 years stick together a lot. They have lots of ideas. They have a lot of things to say. And they do this magnificently well in coffee bars. But in the media, this is not so apparent. The media here is not as free as some people in the West, and I'll use the West to mean Northern and Western Europe. We think, me being a Westerner, if I can put it that way, we think independent or free media is very important. But we don't seem to realize the problems that we in the West have, that we don't really have access to true independent media. I think that's something that we grew up to think about, but wasn't in reality. And it's a little bit worse here, or at least more constrained. I first started doing podcasting back in 2007. I had been a broadcaster before, and I realized that, wow, wouldn't it be cool if people could have their voice? But not everybody can launch a radio station. They don't have the technical skills. They don't have the money. It's all too complicated. But then came podcasting. Podcasting is growing year in, year on. And I've recently found that there are a growing number of podcasters in the Western Balkans, not only here in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but in Macedonia, in Croatia, Serbia. And today I found somebody that knows what they're talking about. And that's Aleksandra Bučko. And she is, I think today, she's in the Vojvodina, which is an area of Serbia. In the former Yugoslavia, it was an autonomous region. But we don't want to get into the history of that today. We're going to talk about podcasting. Aleksandra, thank you very much indeed for joining. I have this really simplistic question, and we'll be talking about questions later on. My simplistic question to kick off every one of my podcasts is, this is quite simple. Who is Aleksandra Bučko?
Well, great to be here on your podcast. And I think it's not a simple question to answer who is Aleksandra Bučko, but I think maybe I can answer it in the podcast way, that I am a person that really loves audio, multimedia as well, but audio. And that's why it was really natural to me to come to podcasts when it came to Serbia, maybe a little bit later, when it started to grow in Serbia in 2019-18, I think. Then we had a podcast platform that started working in here in Serbia, in the region as well. And it's Podcast RS. And afterwards, podcast started growing everywhere. And I started educating myself and others on podcast production.
How difficult was it for you to take that leap? I know that you are passionate about audio, but how, some people say, I'd like to do it, but they can't get over that hurdle, that first jump. How hard was it for you to do that?
For me, it came almost naturally, because I was a radio journalist from, I think, from when I started my university. So back in 2013 or 2014, I started working on the radio, and I started I was interested in audio editing as well. So to know, to understand the sound, how it works, how to edit it, how to put together multiple track layers and to combine everything. It was really interesting and I found it really creative. So it was really natural to me, and maybe even better because it was, and it is still, podcasting is promoted as something that is, that can be really remote. So that was really great for me. And the other thing, I really like the idea of on-demand content. So it was really great for me to have this opportunity to work from wherever I want and to be as creative as I can imagine or want to be. And then to put it somewhere where it can last. Because as I worked on the radio, you make it and then after it broadcast, it's done. Well, you can put it on website or something like that, but it's when you put it on radio, it's done. And if you make a podcast about any topic, it can stay for as long as you wish, and it can be available to people for as long as you wish. So that's why I found podcasting really an upgrade of audio. I finished journalism, School of Journalism, and we was always learning about the television and how really big and important media it is to combine audio and picture and everything. And I find that audio is maybe even more challenging and creative because you have to paint the picture only with sound and with silence. So you can really open to any techniques that you can have in yourself.
When I started in radio many years ago, one of my bosses, if you will, who became a mentor, and I was always very impressed with what he had to say, which wasn't a lot for a broadcaster. He always said, David, you have to understand that radio is the theater of the mind. And I thought that was the best way of describing it. I'd like to ask you now for what you think about this. I went to a digital marketing conference in Banja Luka 2 years ago, I think. And there was somebody there from Serbia. I think his nickname is Galeb, could it be? And a really energetic, passionate young man, as far as I'm concerned, look, with the white beard. And they said, this guy's a podcaster and he's going to talk about podcasting. So I took his details in my notebook. And when I came home, I went to research him. And yes, he has this amazing podcast on YouTube. But for me, that's not a podcast. That's a vodcast or a vlogcast, because I think that a podcast is only audio. I don't get the concept of having the same title for something as video. Now, as somebody that trains podcasters, is your focus on audio, or do you accept that these video broadcasts are also podcasts? Because it's confusing, isn't it?
Yes, it's really confusing. I'm a passionate audiophile, so I want to say that the podcasts are really only audio, but we can see the trends in the world regarding video, and they are going to the video sphere as well. And I always want to find like a balance, and my focus is to put as much focus and importance to audio and a little bit less on video. If I'm working for me or for my media outlet, but when I'm working with somebody, with my clients, then I will focus on whatever they want. But I think that audio in podcast, you really have to focus on audio and on, most importantly, on storytelling techniques. And that came from the audio, because if you make only audio story, it has to be really good to catch your ear. You don't have a picture to catch on picture as well. Yes, my answer would be that I put my main focus on audio, but I see that the video is more popular as well. And I don't think it's really about the podcast, especially in Serbia or the region. Analytics about the listening and watching the podcast in the region, the more people are only listening to the podcast. Even on YouTube, they are listening to it. So the focus is on audio, but I think that because of the social media and the multimedia approach, you have to have a video aspect of it. So because of that, I think that we need to think about video aspect of podcast, but not as a main part. And we need to focus on audio to make the story really good and important and challenging and catchy.
Veliki pozdrav svima, ako god da nas sluša bilo gdje u svijetu. Volim vas sve, šaljem mnogo ljubavi, poljubaca i pozdrava. Pratite Ultra magazin ultra.ba ili ga potražite na TikToku, Instagramu ili Facebooku. Ja sam tu također za sve vas. Možemo se družiti, možemo sarađivati. Potražite me na Instagramu Dijana Tepšić.
You're listening to an Englishman in the Balkans.
What made you want to put your effort and energy into creating the Fabrica Podcaster, this, what I think is a superb thing? I've checked the website, it's absolutely wonderful. But what made you want to do it?
Yeah, I worked maybe 6-7 years ago in two medias. One was in Ruthenian language, and my focus was mainly only on Ruthenians. And the other was on youth and Novi Sad, the city where I'm from. And some stories I couldn't really tell because of the main editorial mission of the medias that I'm working on. And then I realized that I want to have a platform where I can do it as creative as I want. If I want to experiment, I will experiment. If I want to tell some simple story, I will tell it. Just to make a platform where you can be creative as you wish. You have to be professional, you have to be objective, the main postulates of journalism, but you can be creative as it can get, as you can go. So because of that, the Fabrica is the non-profit organization, Fabrica Creativnosti. It has its own media outlet called Fabrica Creativnosti, and Fabrica Podcasta is on Instagram, just to focus, to show the focus, our focus. And I think that I learned a lot with Fabrica Podcasta and Fabrica Creativnosti, that I learned because I'm more of creative person than I am of businessman and managerial skills. I learned a lot about working with people, about trusting people, about every different areas, from finance to project proposals. And after a while, it all came to podcasts and multimedia approach. So I think that's the main focus that we are doing now. It's going really slow because we are doing it only from our love and comfort of our home. But I still think that we make some really important and interesting things. I can tell you a bit more later about them, but it's really small, focused impact, and I like that. I never wanted to have some big company, and I don't want that. I want to stay focused, because then we can really focus on our creativity and our approaches and everything.
There's a difference in how people use words, especially in the English language. And when I was reading about your background and one of the projects that you started with, which I thought was first class, and I'm going to try and ask you if you can direct me, this is when we finish recording, where I can find this, is that you laid out about wanting to do what you called an audio documentary, and it was about Afghan migration and how it impacted and the issues concerned with it in the region, Serbia, Croatia. It's on that transit route for migrants. And then it struck me, could an audio documentary be classed these days as a podcast as well? Or do you think they are two separate things?
No, I think they are the same. The audio documentary that you're talking about is some content that I made for public broadcasting service of Vojvodina when I was working there on Ruthenian language. And I think that it's mostly the same. The audio podcasting is mostly audio content on demand. as I see it and as we are working with it. So is it... I think that we can talk about radio drama, radio documentary and podcast. I think they can be the same, but radio is mainly focused on today or some present time. And when you're making podcast, you can make it long lasting. So you can come back to some radio show and audio show and listen to it. And it will be relevant even 5 years from the day it's made. So I think that's the main difference that we can make between audio and podcasting or radio and podcasting.
You emphasize creativity and storytelling as the main two pillars when you train people. How does this approach of focusing on creativity and storytelling set podcasting apart from other audio media here in the Balkans?
I think that storytelling and creativity is the main thing that you have to do to be seen or to be recognized or to find your voice with the vast majority of a lot of content creators or podcasters or media outlets. And I think that this is something that can set you apart from some other people that are creating something similar or why not even the same as you, because your approach is different. And that's why I think the podcasts are really great, because you can really focus on that thing that you are driven, and that will set you apart from some other people that are doing something similar to you. Maybe they have a same topic as you, but the way that you do it, your creativity, your approach, your storytelling is definitely going to be different from theirs, because you are two separate persons that are thinking, the ways of thinking are different from both of you. And I think that's the part that is really important in podcasting, because it sees you and everybody around you not as somebody that you have to be competing, because everybody has its own way and everybody has its own auditorium. And I think that we are all going that way in our lives and in our maybe business and in media and everything. We want to find people who are going to listen to us and the way that we are telling anything, and with that people we can make a connection and be really a community. Because I think that all media and all the world is going that way, but the people are not seeking that anymore. They want to be part of a community. So that's why in podcasting we are not talking about your audience, we are talking about your community. And that community will listen to you because they like the way that you are speaking, telling story and everything. And that's the most beautiful and maybe the most challenging part of podcasting, because you have to find your voice and you have to be sure that really your voice. I'm telling that from my experience, because I had a couple of podcasts and I started working them, because some of them started in some other media outlets, not in Fabrica. Some were checking the pulse of the podcast scene in Serbia maybe, and after a while I realized what I want to do, the way that I want to do it, with whom I want to do it. And I think that now in maybe 2023-2024 Fabrica Podcasta is going to do the things that I really want to do: the podcast, the storytelling, the performances, audio performances. Because of them, I started off all of this. And I think that is going to be my approach. I'm always thinking about one. She's like an influencer and she's helping people to guide their Instagram profiles and grow them and everything. And she says the followers are not important. And firstly, I was thinking, how followers are not important, they are your community. You have to know how big is your community, who is interacting with you and everything. And then I realized it's important to know with who you are talking to, but the numbers are not so big if you are doing what you love to do.
It seems to me that there is a train of thought in the region that this new technology is not going to succeed. There is still this phenomenal amount of pushback. Now, how difficult is it to get people to understand the value of podcasting? And I know you shouldn't have two things in one question, but I'm going to break the rules today. And what is, in your view, the real percentage of, let's say, middle-aged to young Serbians that listen to podcasts? Is it growing?
I think it's growing. I'm not quite sure what's the percentage in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but I know for sure that the number is growing, that the podcasts are coming, but I don't think they have the right knowledge how to approach podcasts or the vision, maybe. I think they are thinking in commercials type of content. And podcasts are not something like that. Podcasts, you have to put an effort to podcast. You can make 10 episodes. And I even saw some types of trying in Serbia that they made like 10 episodes of branded podcasts. And it was maybe big at the moment, but it was not so relevant or big afterwards because they didn't put that much of thinking or effort to make it long-lasting in a way of making a community around the podcast. So the podcasts are really great thing if you want to put an effort to it. And it's really rewarding. You will get a lot of that back if you put that, but it takes time. You can make, I even wrote a blog post on it, about that. You can make some interesting Instagram post or some big reel or commercial, and you can put it on any type of media. You can put a lot of money and you will get a high feedback, but it's short term. And after the ad is done, you are done almost instantly with that effect. But if you put your effort in podcasts and if you make a community, you will get that back. So I have a client, she's working on her podcast for around a year, a little bit more than a year, maybe 13, 14 months. And a month ago, it started to grow. So she was working for a year, constantly, weekly, week after week, on creating her content. She didn't put a lot of money in promoting it, so it's really like naturally or organic community. And maybe a month ago or 2 months ago, week after week, she's having more and more followers, listenings, plays, everything, and it's organic. She doesn't put a lot of money into her ads on Instagram or something like that. She don't even make a lot of posts about podcasts, maybe one or two per podcast, and that's all. But it's growing, and it's rewarding her back because she has a lot of new clients because of the podcast. But she put an effort on it, and she worked on it, and now she's getting it back. If you want something instant, then podcasts are not good for you. But if you want something long-lasting, then you should commit to podcasts. Not even in a way long-lasting that you will have that rewarding way. But even if you have some projects and you need to think about sustainability, about the long-lasting content that you are creating, podcasts are really better than social media posts or something like that, because it can be available 5 years from now, 10 years. And if you do it good, it can be time relevant anytime. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to say. So you can make content that is for a really long term, and then some goals or your vision or the results of your project or anything that you are doing, and because of what you are doing your podcast, it's going to be available for a really long time, and it will not expire after a month, 2, 6 or a year.
You're listening to an Englishman in the Balkans.
Hi, and dobrodošli. My name is Ivana, and I'm the heart and soul behind the Balkan Seas podcast. coming to you all the way from beautiful Australia. As a former refugee, I've walked the path of resilience and transformation. My mission, to empower Balkan women and men to heal, thrive, and grow through my coaching and mentoring programs. Join me on this incredible journey of self-discovery, community, and belonging. Together, we'll rewrite our stories and move forward towards a brighter future. Balkansis Podcast, your source of authentic stories, inspiration, and wisdom. Ready to make a difference? Dive in and follow us today.
It's all about community. I get it. It's all about community. But what about the topic? And let's use me as a case study. I'm an Englishman in the Balkans. How many people are interested about what an Englishman in the Balkans does, for example? Yes, I have a very small nucleus of people that say, oh, we love it, from making Zimnica to whatever you're doing. It's so unusual for us. We like it. Now, I don't spend any money on promotions, whether it be Instagram or whatever. I'm just going with the flow of organic growth, which, as you say, is very slow. But I know that it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. But let's say that David wanted to suddenly grow his audience as quick as possible. And I came to you at the Fabrica and said, hey, what should I do to grow quickly, to grow my community? What would you advise me?
There's a lot of techniques that you can do, but you can connect with...
Just give me one or two. Just give me one or two.
Yeah. Press releases are really important and we are not thinking about them. And collaboration with local media or even national media, to go there to promote your podcast, to write to them. Here, I have a new episode. It's about that and that, this and that. I'm talking about spreading the culture or your culture. Your culture, meaning Bosnia and Herzegovina culture, or the other one. And of course, the always popular is getting influencers on your show or involving them in promotion, making a small promotion of your podcast or and the content that you make. And of course, it's really interesting. It's not popular in Serbia, but guesting in other podcasts is really good too. Me being guest at your podcast, it's helping me, but it's helping you as well, because I'm going to promote it to my community as well. And imagine if you have your guest at maybe 3 or 4 podcasts until the end of the year, so you will have some sneak peek with their community as well, and you will be promoted to their community as well. Somebody will find you interesting and come to you. So that's 3 or 4 ways, and it's never one way. I don't think it will never, you can, and I can see that. Even if I have some clients that have money and that they put money in promotion and they're not getting that back so quickly, because it's only one way. You can put like €500 in one ad, but it's not going to give you that amount of people in your community or long-lasting people in your community. But if you combine some different approaches and you are constantly there, then the people will come to you. And it only depends on how often and how consistently you are doing that. So if you are doing your content, I'm really not good at social media. I don't like social media, so I'm not so regular there. And I can see that when I'm scheduling my posts, so the people are rising. But if I stop, maybe have a break or something like that, my numbers are falling down. So if you are constant with 2, 3, 4 different approaches, not similar, but different, then you will have a constant flow.
I popped that question to you because there have been a few people that said, David, I'd like to do a podcast, but I'm too scared to do it. And I thought, I can give you the answers, but it would be so cool for somebody who is a guest on the podcast to actually tell them how to do it. So I know you're in business, but thank you so much for the few minutes of free advice. Alexandra, with the time that you've been doing this, you must have had highs and lows, but I hate going towards the negative. What has been the or some of the best experiences that you've felt from the work that you've done? In other words, what have you been most proud of so far in your success and rise of your project?
I think that the something that is most important to me is we work on podcasts. Some of them are just coming in upcoming year, but we have a podcast called Umologia or Umology, and this year we changed the editorial approach, and we are going to talk about our well-being and about how our everyday life is influencing our well-being in mental health. And I think that this project is really important to me, for sure. But also last year, it was season 2 of the podcast. We were doing it with some... We had a project, and it was content for the young people. And I was thinking about visual podcasts. It's really interesting thing. Not video podcasts, visual podcasts. And we started to do something similar. It's like a first step towards visual podcasts. What we are doing, we are creating all of our like a draft of our show synopsis. I know how to explain it.
Yeah,
we are doing it, we are putting it on website, everything from the pause, from the breath, from the music, the effects, and the words that we are saying, or our people who we are interviewing. And we are doing that because we want to maybe put it easier for people who have hearing impairment, so that we bring more closely audio, something that is audio, to people who have hearing impairment, so they can maybe follow the transcript of the show and know what's going on, know when maybe we have some break, or maybe we put some music on, and what kind of music, if it's more, if it's like slow, or if it's upbeat, to maybe, I don't know how to say it, to draw something that we are doing with audio, so that somebody who don't have this opportunity can be involved with. And I think it's really important because we are talking about mental health, so I think that the topic is important. And with that, we are the first media in Serbia that is doing something like that. So you can check it on our website, and think it's going to be better to see what we are doing than my explanation of it in English. But I think it's really important to have this inclusion, or maybe the first step towards inclusion. Our full goal is to have a visual podcast, and we need a new website for that, to have a transition so that the text and everything is combined with audio, and we have a different transitions of the text, so you can really illustrate the audio. But for now, it's the first maybe baby step towards that.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to House Victoria, your home away from home, in the enchanting region of Banja Luka in northern Bosnia and Herzegovina. At House Victoria, we offer you a truly memorable and authentic experience. Immerse yourself in the local culture, connect with the community, and create lasting memories. Explore historical landmarks, indulge in delicious local cuisine, and venture off the beaten path. We are committed to sustainable tourism and ethical travel. Ready to embark on an unforgettable adventure? Book your stay today. Visit our website at holidayinbosnia.com. Or reach out to us directly on WhatsApp at 00387 66657916. We can't wait to welcome you to our apartment and share the wonders of this captivating region with you. Let us be your guides as you create memories that will last a lifetime. Choose House Victoria for your next getaway. Your adventure awaits.
When I first fell in love with radio, and it's a good few decades away, I can tell you that now, there was a tremendous influence in the United Kingdom from the United States of America. And the watchword when preparing radio programs was to be tight. Everything had to be tight. And it seemed at sometimes when you listened to packages, which we would call mini podcasts today, you would not hear the presenter breathe. Everything was so tight. It had to be tight. It had to be punchy. And yet it never, ever sounded realistic because we all stumble our words. We all breathe. When you train people to become podcasters and you're teaching that very great skill of audio editing, are you a disciple of keeping the breath or are you a disciple of keep it tight? What is your approach?
I think that the middle is the best way to go. I think that everything has to breathe. Even if you're listening, so you're listening to a podcast for 30 minutes, and if everything is tight, you cannot feel all emotions or information that you are getting. You don't have time because it's all going, and it's not good. So you have to breathe. You have to let your audience breathe. To be maybe have a little bit of time where they can collect their thoughts, even if it's a silent break or maybe a break in with music, just to recollect what they heard. So if you want, you can do everything tight, but it's not going to be natural. It's not going to let people really understand what you're saying, and you want that. And sometimes the break or the silence can speak 1,000 words. You can illustrate with silence a lot of things and a lot of... So I think it's really important to let your story breathe. And that includes you. And that includes your audience as well, your community, somebody who listens to your podcast.
What is the reaction from your Serbian audience to the fact that you are... I won't use the word relaxed, but I think it is the best one to use. Let your podcast breathe. When they watch television, and a lot of people still watch television, right? And Tamara and I watch Serbian, the breakfast show every morning. And when I listen to a news report, it's just red. It's like a machine gun. And I know that Serbian people breathe when they speak. It's not how it is on television. When you talk to fellow media professionals that aren't podcasters, are there always criticisms of how podcasters do it? You're not doing it correct. Do you get this sort of little rub between you and the, let's say, the established media?
A little bit. I just had something similar 2 months ago. We were making radio drama. So really radio drama. It was something I was finishing. I worked in public broadcasting service until July of this year. And some project that I was finishing is radio drama on Ruthenian language. And I was director of it. And I said, we have to have... there was one scene where the man was falling down from the ship. And I said that he need to scream all the way down, and then from 1 minute we have to go under the water, and we are hearing him falling down, and our two main characters are having conversation and in the time that he's falling down. So it's really long scene, and it's really something not normal. And I had a similar talk with sound designers, but he is falling down for so long, and I said yes, because it's something different, and everybody will know that he's not really falling down for 3 minutes. It's not 3 minutes, it's like 45 seconds, but they will know that he's not falling down for 45 seconds, but it's something that we are creating. It's some different approaches that we are letting in this drama to come. And then some maybe pauses that they had between the dialogue and everything, and I was like, put it, let it breathe. And even my brother, we are working together, my brother is sound designer, so he's always making everything tight, and I'm like, no, put the break here, let it breathe, because you have to breathe when you're listening something. Even when I edit some audio file, I always put the speaking part on two, the speed of my listening is on two when I edit something. It's not normal, because I know to find the something that is not good in audio file even by looking at it, because I'm in that job for 10 plus years. But you have to put it breed when you want to let it sink. That's the word. You have to let it sink with your audience, with your community, with the listener. So maybe they will ask what's next, maybe they will recapitulate what they heard, but you have to give them that opportunity, because they will think it when they are listening something. You can continue speaking and they will be in back, oh, what did I heard? What did he say? And you went 30 seconds on. So they lost 30 seconds of your podcast because of the lack of this small pause of maybe 1 or 2 seconds, so that he can breathe and think really quickly about what he or she just heard.
My experience of living in the region, from people that don't understand what you're talking about or what I'm talking about or what anybody's talking about, they're... Maybe it's just me, but people go, anybody can be a podcaster. There's nothing special, David. The question is, and you see it on the internet all the time, I'm thinking about doing something, and a lot of responses are, anybody can do a podcast. Do you subscribe to that?
Everybody can do anything. But the question is how good they are going to be at what they do, or will they find it more difficult or not? So you have to love what you do to be good at it, or to enjoy what you do. And from my approach, I can help you so that your path as a podcaster can be really easy or smooth, or you don't have to do things that you don't really enjoy. Because somebody is not enjoying the editing of the podcast. Somebody is overwhelmed when maybe planning of the podcast or starting of the podcast, or maybe having the good approach. It's really interesting. I had a lot of potential clients. We had a meeting and they said that they want full on 2 cameras, subtitles, everything. And when I said to them, it's how it works, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do it, it's going to cost you that and that. You have to have maybe your equipment or something like that. And they just never called me back or texted me or anything. So everybody thinks that they can do it, but it sounds or looks easy when you're doing your podcast or when you're watching somebody who is doing podcast. But when you go into this world of podcasting, it can be challenging. It can be challenging in one part or maybe more, but that's why you have a lot of podcast managers or podcast producers or editors who can help you. But the most important thing, you have to know what you are doing, why you are doing it, and you have to love to do it.
The region in where we both live still has a lot of issues that it has to solve within itself. That's between communities, between countries even. There's still a lot of unfinished business. Do you see podcasting contributing to the eventual healing of those issues? In other words, how important do you see podcasts being in getting people to understand each other, accept each other, and look forward together?
I think it can be used in really good way of doing that things, mostly because in that way you have one media that is, it gives the voice of people that are maybe not in the mainstream media, which is important. You can tell a lot of different stories that are not catchy enough for the mainstream media, but are as important as the catchy ones. And one thing that is maybe really important is that podcasts are really intimate contents, meaning that you mostly listen to it on your headphones, and you have this feeling that somebody who is talking is talking directly to you, and you make a connection between the host or author of the podcast and the people from community. And if you do it in a really good way as healing process, you can do a lot of things. You can tell a lot of stories that are really important in promoting good narratives, good steps to heal, to promote some misunderstandings that you can find in media, or not even to say like maybe the propaganda and everything that we can find in our media that are not independent. But this way you can have independent content that can show what it's really about if used in the right way.
Years ago, a younger Alexandra Butchko had this idea of doing podcasting. And today, some years later, I've got to ask you, as we wrap this up, what are your dreams as far as podcasting is concerned? What do you want to achieve? What is that ultimate goal? I know your goal will change over time, that's understood. But what do you see is the future for you and the development of podcasting, not only in Serbia, but in the wider region?
My dream is to create creative podcasts and audio dramas, audio performances. Yeah, just to really be creative and to help other people be creative as well. Maybe to let off that stereotype feeling about podcasting and the podcast approach and everything, and to let yourself be creative in the way that you are doing things, especially if you do it in audio.
Three words you've repeated time and time again: community, storytelling, and focus. I'm telling you, the answer you just gave me was laser focused. Alexandra, thank you so much for being with us. I know for a fact, quite a few listeners from not only within Bosnia-Herzegovina, but my data shows me that I've got a small percentage of people in Serbia. And I know that they're following me for an English language podcast. But if anybody from the region, or maybe outside the region, I don't know, wanted to find out more, two-part question, would you help them? And if so, where do they find you on the internet?
I will help them no matter the language, so we can do in English. Maybe I'm not so good in speaking it fluently, but regarding helping of podcasts and growing of your community or editing of podcasts, the language is really not that important. And then they can find us on our Instagram, Fabrika Podcasta. We have a website, fabrikakreativnosti.com, and our Gmail is always open. It's fkreativnosti@gmail.com. So we are there for any help, for any collaboration that is interesting, just to write us, to reach to us.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.